So I want to ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. And if you keep your Bibles, we'll be looking at some other verses as we go along as well. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 is where we'll start this morning. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In these two verses, we find a concise summary of the plan of God to bring salvation to mankind. Those who were created, sons, who fell into sin, became sinners and rebels against God, now through the redemption in Christ, brought back to be sons of God. These verses teach us that the plan of God for salvation was initiated by God. It says that it was God who sent forth His Son. We learn that to fulfill God's plan, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman. In theological terms, that's the word incarnation, not a word that's strange to us necessarily. We don't often use it. The incarnation of Christ. God taking on human form, taking on human nature, and living on this earth, the incarnation. The birth of the Messiah that we celebrate this time of year. John the Apostle tells us that God's motive for sending His Son was His love for His creation. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We're told in this verse that Jesus lived under the law of God. Jesus was not exempt from God's commands or God's rules. He completely fulfilled them. Because Jesus was not born with a sinful nature, was continually filled with the Holy Spirit, and completely committed to God's will, He never sinned, even while living under the law and fulfilling that law. Because Jesus lived a sinless life before God, He was eligible to redeem those who sinned under the law. Those who have sinned under the law includes every single one of us. Every single person in the world, apart from Christ, has been born with that sinful nature and under God's condemnation. And Christ came to redeem each and every one. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, so that in Jesus we might receive God's forgiveness, as this verse tells us, to receive adoption as sons of God. The incarnation of the Son and the death of Jesus on the cross to redeem mankind. That's the good news that has been given to us to proclaim to the entire world. And that message begins with what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ, leading to a perfect life. And then His death on a cross, His resurrection, and His ascension into glory. The good news, the only really good news that we have for the world around us. Well, this morning I want to focus more on the first part of verse 4, where it says, when the fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come. And the point I want to make this morning is not a complicated point. It's actually a very simple point. The point I want to make this morning is that the incarnation, the coming of the Son of God to earth as a human being, and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ to redeem sinners, along with this resurrection, were planned by God at the very least from the foundation of the world, and most likely even before the foundation of the world. So that's what I want to look at this morning. Not something complicated, but I want to pull out some insights from that later at the end of the message. that the birth and death and resurrection of Christ and a whole lot of other things as well connected to that were planned by God at least from the beginning of creation, if not from before the foundation of the world. Before earth or man or time ever came into existence, God had planned for the birth of Christ into humanity, the death of Christ on the cross, the resurrection, and his ascension into glory. The teaching of the New Testament leads us to believe that before the earth was created, God had planned and prepared for the salvation of mankind through the birth of Christ as a human being, his perfect life lived on earth, his death on the cross for the sins of mankind, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, back to the original glory that he had with God the Father. The birth of Christ in a manger in Bethlehem was a plan conceived in the mind of God, likely before God ever created the earth or mankind, and then was manifested when the fullness of time had come. So that's what I want to try to show you from different scriptures this morning and then bring some insights out of that. And let me ask you to turn then to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Paul is writing about his own ministry, and he says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul says he's a minister of God to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I like that Advent this morning where it just gives us an idea of all or some of the things that we could wonder about just in this incarnation. And yet there's so many other riches in Christ, unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul is a minister of the message of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ for the salvation of mankind. Not only is Paul a minister of the gospel, he is also, he says, bringing to light for everyone the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. A mystery, Paul says, that was hidden but has now been revealed through Christ and his death and his resurrection and ascension. He says this hidden mystery is now revealed to everyone in the gospel, and it was according to the eternal purpose of God, which has now been realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. An eternal purpose made in the mind of God, now manifested in the coming of Christ. What God had planned in eternity, God worked out in time until the time when he brought his very Son into the world as a baby in Bethlehem and through a perfect life unto death on a cross to resurrection and ascension to glory. Paul says this plan is rooted in the eternal purposes of God. I want to ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, where we read very much the same thing there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Christ, the Lamb of God, who saves us with his precious blood, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for our sake. Through Christ we now believe in God, who raised Christ from the dead, and our faith and our hope are in God. The historical event of the birth of Christ and of the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection and his ascension into glory and the coming of the Holy Spirit to found the church originated in the eternal purpose of God and was worked out in time according to God's plan and power. When you read Genesis 3:15, it speaks of the seed of the woman that would come and crush the head of the serpent. So we know that from that point when man sinned, God's plan was already in place and purposed that he would come and redeem mankind from his fall into sin. We see God's plan pictured in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And then finally we see Christ born, brought to the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As I have to by necessity, and I hope you do it out of joy, I have to read the Christmas story because I'm preparing for messages. And I tell you the truth, preaching at Christmas is the most difficult because very limited amount of material. And say, well, I said that the year before. But I'm still reading through Luke and Matthew and looking and asking and praying. I found something quite interesting as I was reading Luke chapter 1 and 2 this year. I was impressed with the repetition of the word will, W-I-L-L, will. Here's just some samples. I just pulled them out. I mean, I could have made a whole long list. Elizabeth will bear you a son. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many to the Lord. You will be silent and unable to speak. You will conceive. He will be great. You will be called the Son of God. God will give him the throne of David. The Spirit will come upon you. This will be a sign for you. And it just goes on and on. This tells me that the birth of Christ was not worked out on the fly. This is not a seat of your pants operation that's taking place with the birth of Christ. What we are reading about in Luke here is an eternal purpose that is now being manifested in the fullness of time, exactly how God has planned. It will work out the way He has determined it will work out. This will happen this way. This will happen this way. This will happen this way. You will do this. You will say this. This will happen. That is the way the plan is being worked out. Just a couple more verses here, and you don't have to look these up. Just short verses. In Acts 2:23, in speaking of the crucifixion of Christ, Peter says, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Peter didn't say, "You guys, you know, you killed Jesus, and, you know, you kind of made a mistake." It says, "This was God's definite plan foreordained of God, that you would get together, Herod and the Jewish people and Pontius Pilate, and crucify this Lord." It worked out the way it was determined to work out. He says it again in Acts 4:27-28. "For truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel," all of those groups together, "to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." Like the birth of Christ, the crucifixion was arranged and ordered according to God's eternal purpose and predestined plan. Each participant played their part according to God's script. So how does this truth of the birth of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ coming out of God's eternal purposes and being worked out in every detail according to His plan in history, what does that teach us this morning? Well, I've got four suggestions for you this morning that come out of this point that I'm trying to make, that the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, even the outpouring of the Spirit of God to found the church were purposed in God's eternal plan and manifested when the time had fully come. So here's four thoughts to leave you with this morning. First of all, you can be assured that your God has a purpose in all He does and that He has the power to carry out that purpose. God has a purpose in all that He does and He has the power to carry out that purpose. When Christ was born in a stable and a manger, and it seemed to Mary and Joseph that God hadn't really made proper preparations for the birth of His Son. Oh no! I forgot! There's a convention in Bethlehem this weekend. And I forgot to reserve a room for Mary and Joseph. And so I have to put them in the stable. No, that's not how it was. God had prepared for this every detail according to His purpose and His plan. When Christ was crucified, it may have appeared that God had lost control of the crowds and the religious leaders and that God's plan was unraveling. But no, in the chaos, God's plan was working out to the last detail in His time and in His way. When we look at the world today, we see disorder and disaster and confusion and chaos all around us. But we can be assured that God is not surprised. God's not having emergency meetings in heaven. How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with that? Something's come up here which I didn't foresee. That's not taking place at all. Be assured that God's eternal purpose is being worked out to the letter. We may not understand it. We might have a different plan if we were going to do it our way. But God is working out His plan in every detail. What God has described in the book of Revelation is certain to happen. It will come to pass. It will come to pass as God has ordained it to pass. Now, when you look at God, what allows to enter your own life, and that's where maybe the rubber hits the road, be assured that God's sovereign rule is at work and His plans are being worked out. We can have the assurance that God has a purpose in history. God has a purpose in the church. God has a purpose in our own life. And He is working that out to the very end. Number two, if you belong to God this morning, you can be certain that your salvation will be worked out to its final completion. That's why I love this benediction from Jude, where it tells us without a doubt that God will bring us into His presence with joy and perfection. God always completes His plans, and if your salvation is part of God's plan, then you will be saved, and nothing will prevent your presentation before the presence of God's glory, blameless and with great joy. That's what Paul is trying to tell us at the end of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and he lists all kinds of things in heaven and in earth. And nothing will separate us from the love of God. God's purposes will be completed. And if your salvation is part of God's purpose, your salvation will be brought to its final fruition, its final completion. The amazing precision and power shown in the working out of the eternal plan of the incarnation and crucifixion of Christ is applied to your own salvation in Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always to the end of the age. These are not sentimental statements, but statements of truth based on the purpose and character of God. So if your salvation is part of God's plan, it will be brought to completion. Number three, coupled with the goodness of God and the love and mercy of God, we have the confidence through this truth of God's power to work out His purposes in this world, the confidence to obey what God has asked us to do. So if God's in control, and God knows exactly what He's doing, and what He has purposed for the world and for your own individual life, when He asks you to do something, you can have the confidence to obey Him and to put that what He has asked you to do into His hands. If God be for us, then who can be against us? When God asks you to surrender something to Him, know with confidence that He can keep you in that surrender and provide all you need because you obeyed in your surrender to God. God's eternal purpose is to conform us to His Son, Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, we have to give up our own ways and our own strengths and depend on God and let God do what He wants to do in us. God wants to break our self-sufficiency, our self-will, and our pride. And as we see God's eternal plans worked out with such fruitful success in the incarnation and crucifixion, we can with confidence lay down our lives at His feet. And then finally, since God has made His purposes known to us in His Word, we should make God's purposes our purposes. We're sure that God's purpose is going to work out. We're not necessarily sure that our purposes are going to work out. So why not align our purposes with God's purposes? God's purpose is His glory and the establishment of His kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Our purpose is to seek the kingdom of God and to be holy to the glory of God. Looking at how God has worked out history so far, reading what God has told us with regard to history in the future, I am lining up all my energies and efforts with the purposes of God. I do not want to be found working against God, but with God. So God's purposes planned in eternity have been worked out in every precise detail in history and continue to be worked out in history. So we can be assured, we can be confident that when we walk with God, God will indeed fulfill His purposes and His promises to us. I pray that during this Advent season, as we think of the birth of Christ, we will remember that this historic event began in the mind of God in eternity. I pray that we will remember that throughout the many centuries of time, over thousands of years, God worked out every detail, moved every person in place, arranged thoughts and actions to fulfill His eternal plan. This can give to each of us who know God the assurance, the certainty, the confidence to put our lives completely in God's hands and to work with God to fulfill His purposes. And if you do not know God as your Father this morning, as your Savior, if you have not been born again, may the realization of the power of God to save you from sin by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and His power to keep you as His own until you come into His presence motivate you to ask God to save you from sin in Jesus Christ and to make you one of His children. God's in charge. It's good to be on His side. It's good to be one of His. And just want to encourage us to remember that in all of the aspects of our life this morning. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.